You're listening to the Corner House podcast, available from www.cornerhouse.org.
Hi, and welcome to this week's Corner House podcast. I'm Bren O'Callaghan, the Visual Arts Programme Manager here at Corner House, and I'm sitting in for Sarah Perks, who is away on her summer holidays. This week, we review new release Sarah's Key, the French drama starring Christian Scott Thomas. It's your last chance to visit the colourful and kitsch Magda Archer exhibition, Crazy Mad. We'll hear what you think of Magda's work in Gallery One. I'll be giving you a roundup of what you can expect from our Pout on Tour film season, which starts this week. And of course, we have our staff recommendation and our mini What's On guide. So let's kick things off with our film focus for Sarah's Key. And I'm joined by our regular contributor, Andy Willis, from the University of Salford. Andy, can you give us a rundown of this film, a brief synopsis?
Yeah, it's based on a bestseller by the author Tatiana de Rosnay. Kirsten Scott Thomas plays an American investigative journalist who's working in Paris, and she undertakes some research for an article on the big velodrome roundup of 1942. And during that research, she finds the mystery of a character called Sarah, and we find in a parallel story set in the past that Sarah's life revolves a lot around a key. I won't say too much, because obviously in a film called Sarah's Key, if I told you too much, it'd give away the plot. But as with many films, the investigation in the present day uncovers lots of information about the past, and the film operates in these two time spaces, and slowly but surely the two stories come together towards the end again. I don't want to say too much. It's one of those films that if I do, I'll give too much away.
Okay, and it's fair to say, I think, that this is the film that deals with the Holocaust, and I personally find it really challenging and quite difficult to sit through Holocaust films. I'm certainly not in denial, but I've never yet managed to watch Schindler's List all the way through without getting too upset. Maybe that's just me. And I actually found that the way that this film was split between the past and the present, that there would be some really tough scenes in the past and then we'd bring forward into the present. So it actually helped me. It guided me through that story, and I was able to complete watching this film, and I was quite surprised about that. Did that work for you?
Yeah, I think it's a film that I think really, in the context of France, actually tries to deal with a very, very sensitive issue. Because one of the main things about the velodrome roundup, it happened on the 16th and 17th of June in 1942. The main thing about that was it was undertaken not by the Nazis, as you would expect in a normal sort of Holocaust drama, but by the French police. Clearly they were working under the influence of the Nazis, and in a way of showing that the Vichy government was actually more independent than it actually was, the French police undertook the roundup and sending the Jews that they rounded up, I think around 13,000 of them, to camps in other parts of France and in other parts of Europe. So it touches on a really raw nerve, I think, in France. It's not surprising because of that that there's been a few films that have dealt with this issue. There was recently a film here at Corner House called The Roundup, which stars Jean Reno, which covers similar territory, although in a very, very different way. So if you've seen The Roundup, this would be a good companion film because you've got a bit of the background. And then those who might remember a bit, have longer memories, there's a great Joseph Losey film from the 1970s called Monsieur Klein, which again was about the existence of Jews in Paris under the Vichy government. So it's a very sensitive issue, and I think as you say, it tries to make the film something that deals quite palatably, not that it's a palatable issue, but quite accessible, I think. And I think that reflects the director's background. He's somebody who's worked in crime films, in thrillers. He's even made a horror film, which maybe we might think is quite appropriate for this. And he's very confident, I think, in those more mainstream or action-orientated scenes which you have in this film. I found it a little bit more clunky when it got to the kind of drama. You know, there's a few scenes very early on where they're in Kirsten Scott Thomas's magazine office, which one is a bit like an advert for Apple Mac. She's sitting there with a big Apple Mac on her desk, and then she gets out her iPhone from her bag, and I'm thinking, bloody Apple Mac everywhere. So that aside, then there's some quite clunky performances, and it was one of those classics where I thought, well, if this film was in French and I was reading subtitles, I might not notice, but as they're speaking English, it all becomes a bit clunky for me. So I think he was a bit kind of uncomfortable in some ways with the film. But overall, I thought it worked quite well. And as you say, it draws you in. And I think the two stories, as they draw together, work quite nicely and complement each other quite nicely. And she is quite a good guide for the audience, I think, who don't really know much about this kind of period and the things that went on. You know, she provides a good kind of route through the story.
I mean, for me, I think my presiding memory of the film now is a visual reference. There's a nursing home in the film, and it's actually some form of old French chateau or villa. And it actually has a brand new extension to the rear of this nursing home, and it's actually shot in a wide shot. And the new extension is a mirror double of the chateau, except it's made from steel and glass. So you have this, you know, incredibly old, refurbished building which represents the past, and then you have this kind of new mirror double, and that for me is the way that the storyline works. So the old and the new are fixed, you know, side by side, apparently very, very diverse. I kept coming back to that reference as I was watching the film.
I mean, it's really Kirsten Scott Thomas's film, and in a way it brings two strands of her career together as well. You know, the more kind of American films and more English language films she's made that we're familiar with, like The English Patient and The Horse Whisperer and things like that, and then her quite extensive work in France. So again, as a kind of a piece that fans of Kirsten Scott Thomas might like, it works quite well because it's kind of giving you both sides of her career at the same time. So that's a bit of a kind of added star bonus to it, I think. And as I say, I don't think her star presence really kind of undermines the seriousness of the story. I think an actress of her kind of magnitude is needed for this kind of serious story.
And I do just want to be clear that this film is in English, but some sections are in French with English subtitles. So Sarah's Key starts screening here from tomorrow, Friday the 5th of August. All the times are on our website, and remember, you can buy your tickets online with no extra booking fee. So off the back of Sarah's Key, let's go straight in, Andy, with our quick fire round. What's your favourite Kirsten Scott Thomas performance?
Well, as someone who grew up in Merseyside in the 1960s and 1970s, I absolutely loathe the Beatles, as anyone who did then, and I think people who grew up with Radio City playing the Beatles every day, like I did, would concur, even though most people pretend they like the Beatles. But I did like Kirsten Scott Thomas playing Aunt Mimi in Nowhere Boy. I thought that was a fantastic performance.
I think for me, I'm going to pull out the wild card, not the best film that was ever made, but for me, I really like her performance, and that's in the black comedy Killing Mum, where she plays a long-lost, well, a relative, shall we say, of Maggie Smith, and we're supposed to believe that she's married to Rowan Atkinson, you know, that Rowan Atkinson would back someone of that calibre. It's hard to believe, but she gets to play comedy, which you don't see her doing very often. What's your favourite film about an investigative journalist?
I mean, there's plenty of films with investigative journalists. They seem such a kind of ripe character for films, as I say, to lead you through the narrative. But one that always sticks in my memory, I think not that well known, so I would recommend if people get a chance to go and dig it out, is a British film from, I think, 1986, starring Gabrielle Byrne, called In Defence of the Realm, which is a great kind of political conspiracy thriller. So maybe people could check that one out.
I think for me it would be Veronica Guerin, which is the true story based on the Dublin-based journalist who was unfortunately murdered. It retraces her investigation into the Irish drug trade. And last quickfire question, what's your favourite film about Americans in Paris? And I hope very much it's not the same as mine.
Well, I bet it is, because there's only one film with Americans in Paris, and that's with Gene Kelly playing the American in Paris, of course, in the Vincente Minnelli film from 1951.
Oh, no, not at all. No, how diverse are our tastes? I'm going to go with National Lampoon's European Vacation. You know, there's nothing like Beverly D'Angelo and the posters going up around Paris of La Hot Wife after the family video camera is stolen.
Well, I can say that I know there'll be at least one person listening to the podcast who will be enjoying a reference to National Lampoon's European Vacation film.
That's good to hear.
Art, film, books, food, drink, all at Corner House, Manchester.
We're now entering our last week of the wildly popular, I have to say, Magda Archer exhibition, Crazy Mad. And if you ever think that Corner House lacks colour or vibrancy, you need to come to this exhibition. It's just dripping off the walls. It's fabulous. The exhibition itself is split into two spaces. So first of all, you have to walk into a grotto-like space, as the artist herself has described this. It's actually a recreation of her home studio. Magda is a collector of ephemera and kitsch and fun, colourful plastics and objects. And it only represents about 10% of what she has. We have about 1,000 objects just bursting out of shelves in this studio space. And she's got another 9,000 of these at home. And you move from this space into the exhibition space proper, and you can see how her paintings and drawings have developed over the years. But don't just take my word for it. Here is what some of you thought of the exhibition.
It's almost like a sort of kid in a sweet shop, but I think that's sort of the point. You know, it feels like a bit of a cliche, but actually it's quite funny and quite ironic and quite cutting edge, but using very sort of childlike things. So yeah, I think it's definitely worth coming to.
My favourite piece is probably the 369 collection, probably because when I was being shown around, the curator actually did an a cappella version of the song, and it was awesome, and it really brought the art to life. You know, you get a feel for her stimuluses throughout 25 years of collecting, you know, hoarding, if you will, but it's all sort of amalgamated into some really beautiful imagery.
I particularly like all these ones, the 369, the Goose Drank Wine, the Monkey Chew Tobacco on the Streetcar Line, because that reminds me of a silly little song that I knew as a child. And then I like these ones here at the back with all the little girls who are all named after songs. That was really quite interesting.
Sort of reminiscent of my childhood as well because of all the toys and things, but it's very striking. It reminded me a bit of when I came in, I thought it's like Peter Blake's work.
Got a 16-year-old daughter and she quite likes art. She's just doing GCSEs of art. I think she's quite enjoyed this as well.
You've got until 6 p.m. this Sunday to see Magda Archer Crazy Mad in Gallery One. It's a great show, so don't miss it.
You're listening to the Corner House podcast, available from www.cornerhouse.org.
Now it's time to have a look at what's going on this week. So we have artist Frances Blythe appearing as part of our Corner House project strand in the Cafe Bar, and her photography goes up on the walls in the bar from Friday. Blythe was selected for Bloomberg New Contemporaries in 2009, and she has since graduated with an MA in Fine Art at Manchester Metropolitan University, and she's based at Rogue Studios here in Manchester. This forms part of our Corner House project series, and we're always looking for new contributors and artists who wish to display their work and perhaps sell an edition or two in our Cafe Bar area. So do come along, have a look at what we have on our walls. Frances Blythe's work is going up on Friday. Alongside Sarah's Key, we have another new release in the cinema from Friday. Andy tells us a bit about this one.
Well, Bren, as you know, summer is the time of the blockbuster, and sometimes it also provides a space for smaller films to get a release. And this film, The Light Thief, which is from Kyrgyzstan, not a place that we get many films from at all, so an opportunity to see what they're doing in that part of the world, is one of those summer opportunities, which I think we should all try and take. It's kind of a film about a hero, but he's not the same kind of hero as the American superheroes that we see on the side of all the buses at the moment. It tells a story of a character who's known as Mr. Light, and he wants to bring happiness to as many people as he can. As he's an electrician, what he does is he puts on the electricity to their houses and to places in the little village that he works in, and tries to not really charge people, so doing it all on the sly. I can remember people doing that when I was a kid as well, but we won't go into that. Anyway, the film really revolves around him trying to combat a corrupt politician who's also one of the central characters in the film, and he is trying to sell off some of the land in the village without the villagers knowing. So it's kind of a political allegory, if you like. It's a small film, it's quite a charming film, and the London Film Festival called it a visually ravishing political allegory, a film that manages to be warm, witty and utterly charming. So if you want a hero who's not like Captain America, then maybe The Light Thief is one for you next week.
So that's The Light Thief, screening from tomorrow for 1 week only. All the times are on our website, and you can watch the trailer on there as well. And if you fancy taking your bicycle on a nostalgic trip into the past, and we're talking well before Lycra, when cycling gentlemen wore tweeds and ladies bicycled in long skirts, then head down to the Museum of Science and Industry's Retro Bicycle Picnic on Saturday. You can arrive by vintage or new bicycle, of course, to their annual transport festival. Dress stylishly, bring a picnic. It starts at 12 noon this Saturday and goes on until 3. And if you want to find out more, visit their website, www.mosi.org.uk.
Art, film, books, food, drink, all at Corner House, Manchester.
We have a new season coming up this week called Pout on Tour. That's not going to mean very much to people, but what will mean something is Corner House has previously hosted the very popular touring series from the London Gay and Lesbian Film Festival. Now, that's not happening this year, and it's been very well publicised why that should be. It's a very popular festival, but they had a great amount of budget cuts, and they just couldn't afford to allow the tour to continue. So this year, they're concentrating on a slimmed-down version of the festival itself. But fortunately, a specialist distributors here in the UK called Peccadillo, who specialise in LGBT films from around the world, they've stepped in and they've provided an alternative to tour the UK. And that is what Pout on Tour is. We're hosting three of their features. So we're showing a film called Sea Purple. This is a historical drama about two women on a Sicilian island who fall in love with each other. But of course, this being turn of the century, remote to Sicily, you know, things aren't looking too good. So, you know, if you like Sarah Waters, if you like your kind of bodice rippers, that's a slight exaggeration, you know, it's bodice unpicking perhaps, you know, it's much more sedate than your typical kind of ITV drama. But it's a really lovely piece. So anyone who's a fan of perhaps Merchant Ivory's Maurice, they would really like Sea Purple. The second film that we're screening is Man at Bath. This is a quite a controversial film in its way. It stars a very famous figure on the LGBT scene, a French male gay porn star called François Sagat. He's not a trained actor by any stretch, but he does stand there and looks great. I was worried about this film, actually, but before I went in there, I thought, is it just going to be him walking around with no shirt on or no anything on? And yes, there's a lot of that, but he does quite well, actually, because his character is well written in that he doesn't speak very much. You know, so for an actor of his nature, this works really well. And instead, we learn that he's actually a deeply unhappy person. He's breaking up from his partner. His partner's much more intellectual, much more verbal. He has relied to date on his physique, and actually that doesn't get you, it's going to get you so far, but no further. So as a description, as a visual description of a breakdown of a relationship, it sounds terrible, I'm sorry, but it's actually a really great film. So that gets a big thumbs up from me. And the next film we're going to talk about is actually the first film that we're screening in the series, and it's a new British film. I'm going to apologise to the director if she's listening, because she's going to actually be along at Corner House next Tuesday, the 9th of August, and I'll be doing the post-screening Q&A with her. I'll have an attempt at the name. It's Kamchi Witchman. Kamchi, if you're listening, I do apologise. I'll get it right by next week. It's a really edgy, vibrant and very contemporary now British drama. So it's set around a group of 20-somethings in London who, they like to party, they're not too bothered about their jobs. Those of them that have jobs, they like to really, go for the hedonistic lifestyle. It's not going to work out well, but perhaps some will be able to leave that scene and perhaps others will be trapped by it. It is actually really good. We get lots of these kind of contemporary British dramas, that are around kind of housing estates and boy meet girl and girl meet boy, but not so often about girl meet girl or boy meet boy. So I think it levels the balance. We also have a complimentary matinee classic called Taxi Zum Klo, which translates to Taxi to the Toilet. When this first came out in the early 80s, it was decried as an abomination, and it initially couldn't get a distribution deal within the UK. But of course, there's always independent cinemas that will show this. It's a really interesting piece of film history. Quite a difficult film to watch. The director based it upon his own life, and he actually documents the breakup of his actual former boyfriend, he and his actual boyfriend. So it's a little bit reality drama, although clearly scripted. It's set in Berlin, early 80s. The AIDS scare hasn't hit yet, so there's a sense of innocence and that anything you can do anything, be anyone. But it's slightly uncomfortable to watch this because we all know what's going to come next in the years that follow. It's quite explicit. Is it the most explicit thing that Corner House has ever shown? I don't know. Antichrist was pretty bad. There are scenes of real sex in this film, but it's anything but sexy, I have to say. And in fact, I would describe this film as explicit in its ordinariness. So people have patchy skin and pimples, and they live in really cruddy flats and apartments, and they hate their jobs. So although it deals with some quite explicit subject matter, there's a lot there to recognise as well. All the information on the films on Break My Fall, Sea Purple, Man at Bath and Taxi Zum Klo, that's all on the Corner House website, so do go and have a look.
Art, film, books, food, drink, all at Corner House, Manchester.
It's time for our staff recommendation of the week. Every week, one of the lovely Corner House team put forward something they think is worth checking out. This week, it's our engagement coordinator, Aphrodite Bamparusi.
This week I'm going to talk about our wonderful courses that we have confirmed for October. So we've got three new courses, two of them are film courses. The first one is our very popular Essential Introduction to Film Studies that is providing an insight into the main concepts used in cinema and film studies. Previous attendees have found this course particularly enjoyable and accessible, and it's a very easy way into learning how to debate and talk about film. And the second film course that we have planned is Introduction to Neorealism, Yesterday and Today. And Adalgisa Serio, the tutor, will be analysing and exemplifying the neorealism movement in cinema throughout the decades, from the aftermath of World War II to today. Both of these courses are beginner's level, so no prior knowledge is required. And the third course that we have planned is an art course, and it's part of our successful series Introduction to Contemporary Art, a series of courses providing an overview of themes and concepts into contemporary art. This one is called Modernism, and tutors from the Modernist Society will provide insight into modernist design, art and architecture. And all three of our courses contain screenings that are included in the price, so it really is a good deal. To find out more and to buy tickets, please head over to our website www.cornerhouse.org/education. And just a heads on that our October courses are always very, very popular, so if you are interested, early booking is recommended. Booking to the public opens on Friday, 19th of August, but Connor House members receive advanced booking benefits this Friday, 12th of October. So if you are keen to attend one of our courses, why not join Connor House membership and take advantage of all the various benefits that we offer to Connor House members.
Thanks, Aphrodite. That's everything for this week, and thank you for listening. For more information on everything we've talked about, do check out our website, www.cornerhouse.org. Alternatively, you can follow us on Twitter, at cornerhousemcr, or become a fan of our Facebook page. Don't forget you can now find all of our podcasts on iTunes.
You've been listening to the Corner House podcast.